So really, I just kind of wanted to start like a few minutes on your story and just how you got into, you know, doing all this podcast production and editing, and then kind of jump into, you know, how you find new clients, your whole strategy for that, whether, you know, or if they find you, how you onboard them, whether or not, like, how you decide who to work with. I don't know if you turn people down, but would like to hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, onboarding, and then figuring out how much to charge, and then just more general, like, day in the life of a podcast producer. So, like, what's your kind of, like, what do you do in a typical day in a week? Like, how much time do you have to spend educating clients about things? Do you have a specific marketing strategy for new shows when you're helping with launch?
Mm-hmm.
What's your response when people ask you how to grow their audience? What's your response when people oh, I know. What's your response when people ask you to how they can make money with a podcast?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you think is the hardest part of making a podcast, and what's the most rewarding part?
Oh, and those are hard ones. The rest I know. The hardest part of making a podcast. I mean, I guess I have the whole time to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean,
how do you manage and schedule your money?
Yeah. How do you manage your schedule and your money?
Cool. Cool. Okay. I remember I drove to the Yukon from here when I was like, I don't know, a long time ago.
How far away is the Yukon from where you are?
It's by Alaska.
Ooh.
And I live by Vermont. So,
right. The whole,
very far.
Basically the whole,
like,
length
days.
Of it.
It was the whole country. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then some. And then, yeah, at that time we were listening to, like, Dan Savage's Savage Love Cast, which I don't even think it used the word podcast at the time, but it definitely was a podcast. Like, it was like an online radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the van that we drove up in, like, was a shitty van and didn't have anything but CDs or tapes. And so we burned all of his radio shows to tapes and listened to them the whole car ride up. Yeah.
To tapes.
And I'm like, that was for sure my, like, intro into podcasting, because that was like I don't even know what year. I was in second year college. So, like, I was 19 or 20, maybe.
Yeah.
So that was like, yeah.
So I'm hung up on tapes, not even CDs, tapes. How do you burn
I
a,
know.
How do you burn a internet?
I don't know. My friend Caitlin did it.
Wow.
Yeah. Good question. Maybe we didn't have a CD player in the van. I can't really remember, but yeah, it's pretty funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Okay, cool. How do we start?
I think that's a great start. I'm going to use that as the intro. Lightly edited, of course. Welcome.
Saying, okay, cool. How do we start?
No, like the story about driving to Yukon.
Oh, yeah. Classic Canadiana moment. Listeners, please note that I'm wearing a red flannel shirt right now.
People can't see, but you're wearing a red flannel shirt. Yeah, I'll do my job as a host and say welcome to the show, episode 83 of the podcast, dude. Steph, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk about a look inside the life of a podcast producer. It's the title I came up for this one.
Cool.
So I'm gonna ask you a bunch of questions, and we're gonna have a discussion. It's gonna be, I'd say let's keep it loosey goosey. Let's have fun with it. Let's have a good time.
Cool.
Nothing too formal, you know.
Sounds very Aaron and Steph.
Very, very Aaron and Steph for sure. All right. So if I include the story about you burning podcasts, radio shows to tape, and that being your first experience with a podcast. Outside of that, at which point did you get the idea that, you know, working with podcasts could be a thing that you could do part-time or full-time?
I'm not so sure. Like, I don't know if there was a exact moment. It kind of developed, but I was working after school, or I think it was actually my last year of college. I was working for a marketing firm, and they had a bunch of podcasts and, like, video content. And I was editing a lot of that and putting together their podcast and sort of figuring that out for them. And yeah, I really didn't, like, love working for my boss or the company. Like, I just wasn't passionate about it. And then I just decided to try to do it for other people that I was maybe more passionate about. And I guess I lucked out. It worked. So, yeah, I think I started. I mean, that's how I met you. I kind of went off on my own. I had another job at the time to like support myself financially. And then I found a bunch of clients on the internet and started editing their shows for them and charging them money.
And now you do it. Now you do it full time.
I do it full time. I actually ramped up to full time pretty quickly. Like, I think I, within that first year, was full time by the end of the year. And then I was always kind of nervous about it. So I always had like a bartending or like cafe job kind of on the side just in case. Cause I always had that feeling. I think a lot of freelancers have this, that like, you know, the rug could be like pulled out from under you at any second.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to have like a little like, you know, slush fund if I needed it.
No, it makes sense. I to be honest, I still haven't lost that feeling and I have a full-time job.
Yeah.
So I'm always just like, I don't know what it is. I think it's an indication that I need to save more money. So what year was that when you went full-time with this?
I have no idea. I think this is my seventh year. I think that's actually late. I think it's longer. Hold on. What year is it now? It's like 2020. Yeah. I think I was like 2011. Yeah. 2011. Crazy. So much has grown since then.
Podcasting has changed a lot since then, especially over the past year or two, I'd say. So let's talk about finding new clients, because I think this is something a lot of podcast producers are super interested in. Where did you originally find the clients and how has that changed, you know, versus how do you find clients now?
Yeah, I think at the time when I started, I was really scrappy with it. Like, I really just wanted to get my foot in the door and like get new clients. And the way I did that, I started writing a bunch of articles. I put them up on Medium. And then I like went on Reddit and like literally Googled like podcast forums, and I would go onto forums and answer people's questions just to like see. Like, I thought, oh, if people see me answering these questions, they'll think that I like know my shit, and then they'll like reach out to me for more help. So I would answer people's questions about like mics or gear or like, you know, how to get better sound or how to record in a certain way or, you know, how to set up an RSS feed. And then I'd be like, you know, if you want help with this, let me know, like, you can email me here. And that worked a bit. I weirdly like still get like inbound clients, new clients from the articles that I wrote in 2011. Yeah. And I deleted a lot of them, but I kept some of them up. And yeah, so I think that's a really good, like, free, easy way to get more clients. And also just like flex what you know of it.
Right.
And then now I don't really look for clients that much. I'm like pretty lucky. Most people reach out to me either through like word of mouth from past clients or through like, you know, Twitter, Instagram, that kind of stuff. And what was the other question?
Oh, no, that was basically it. You know, where do you find new clients, or do clients find you?
Yeah, most of the time now they find me, which is awesome and very lucky. Yeah, and I think that shift probably happened like 2 years ago.
Nice.
Which is great.
Yeah. Do you ever run into a situation where someone reaches out to you? Obviously, there's going to be times where you're going to be like, well, hell yeah, I want to work with you. That's awesome. Have there been any situations where you notice signs that kind of indicate that someone may not be successful with the show, or maybe red flags? How do you generally kind of handle evaluating whether or not you want to work with a client?
I think, first of all, I always ask people what the show is going to be about, because I like really care about like putting out good podcasts, like good quality podcasts. But like even more than that, I really care about like, you know, supporting content that is like good and not like furthering the problematic problems of like media. So I always have like that entrance call and ask like, what is your podcast going to be about? Who are you going to be talking to? And like make sure it like aligns from like a values perspective. Obviously, like, podcasts can be problematic outside of that, like just in terms of like a work relationship. One way that I've like found to like weed out people that are really like time, I don't know, like we talk about this sometimes, there's some clients that like take up a bunch of your time but don't necessarily realize that you're like, they should pay for that, and like any other job that would be considered like consulting time. And then there's this other kind of client that I get a lot where people are like really excited at the beginning and then it just kind of like dwindles off. Like they're not actually willing to put the work in.
Yeah.
And I recently started charging like an upfront fee, like a one-time fee that I charge upfront. And it's like for all of that consulting, all of that, like setting up the RSS feed, everything that happens basically before the launch. And I find that that is like actually it was like unintentionally a good way of weeding out people that aren't serious about it because they see that first invoice and they're like, oh, do I want to pay like, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 off the bat to do this? And people that are invested will, and people who aren't usually won't.
Yeah, no, that's super interesting. That's exactly what I ended up doing just before I got a full-time job and stopped working with freelance clients. I was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. Like, if you want to talk to me for you know 2 hours about your show, I'm going to have to charge you something upfront.
Yeah. And the upfront thing is nice too, because like, you know, there have been times where people don't have the money upfront and that's fine, but it's just it's not having the money. It's being like, oh, this is a serious thing and I'm willing to like work to get that money. Like, cause people that don't have the money to pay me upfront will be like, I'm happy to do this. I just need to like, you know, have a month to get my finances together and whatever. And yeah. I'm like, great.
No, that's awesome.
Sounds good.
Well, that leads into my next question, which is what's your onboarding process? So what's like the kind of like a high level overview of start to finish of when someone reaches out, then how do you get from there to helping them produce their shows?
It's a great question. The answer is a little different for each podcast because sometimes I have people come to me and they're like, you know, I have this great idea and I want to make a podcast. And I'm like, okay. And then sometimes I have people that come to me and are just like, you know, can you edit this for me? And those situations are so different from each other. Mm-hmm. But if we're doing like a full podcast production setup, usually what happens is I'll get on the phone with them, try to figure out their ideas, get like really clear on timelines. And then usually I'll try to buy equipment like that first week. If they don't have recording equipment, I'll be like, we need to set up a studio or we need to like get the equipment and get that sorted like ASAP. And then I'll send like a contract. We'll figure out what it's going to be about. And then after that, again, depending on the show, like sometimes there's a lot of pre-production work. So like I worked on a show recently where we had to like pitch guests and book them and schedule times and do stuff like that. So if there's like a lot of research or like reach out that needs to happen, I'll do that like immediately and set up like the timelines for recording after. But if not, if it's like just like an interview podcast or something that takes like less pre-production time, then I'll send over like I have like all these like Google Docs for how to organize show structure, basically like how to organize a prep document before a show, how to like get like the email that you should send the interviewee after the show, like a overall of the entire season and like which episode's coming out when and what's it about and how we're going to promote it. So yeah, basically I send over a buttload of Google Sheets and get them to fill them out. But other than that, like sometimes I have a team now. So sometimes there needs to be some introductions made to other people on the team. So like for pre-production, like there's someone on our team, Cecilia, who does like a lot of the research and the writing. So if that introduction needs to happen, then we have to create that relationship too. And yeah, if they're working with other producers or like recording engineers, then those intros need to happen too.
Awesome. And so this brings up a great point, which is, it seems like there's a lot of different kinds of work involved in producing a show. So how do you determine, you know, what to charge or how much to charge for all these different pieces? Do you kind of like do a big overall package, or do you break them, the different sections down in your mind? Like how do you figure out what to charge?
So I charge hourly for all recording and editing always. So if regardless of how big the project is or how consistent it is, I always charge like a pay what you can scale hourly. I do that because I find people don't actually know how to like vocalize what they want done to a show. And if you charge hourly for those things, you can make the adjustments that they want and still get mm-hmm. paid for it. So usually it's pretty consistent after like you get one episode down, but I usually charge hourly for that stuff just in case. And then if it's a bigger show that has like pre-production and like, you know, sometimes I've been hired to like build a studio, like, you know, if it has bigger stuff like this involved, I charge a flat fee usually in payments. But with those, I still charge hourly for recording and editing. So what I'll do is I'll set up the contract into phases. So it'll be like pre-production phase one, pre-production phase two, you know, recording, editing, post. And then like sometimes people want marketing help. Mm-hmm. And I'll charge a flat rate for everything other than recording and editing. And then, yeah, bill it. Basically, what I do is I keep track of all my time, and then I bill that flat rate, which has like an estimate for recording and editing built into it. I bill that rate. And if we go over, I just let them know, like, you know, a month before the end of the project, like, here's where we are. This is how much we're going to go over. I'll bill it as like a fourth invoice or something like that.
Perfect. And a little
super complicated.
No, I think it's really useful information to know. So you mentioned keeping track of your time. Do you have software that you use to keep track of your time, or do you have a spreadsheet or something?
I have both. I use Toggle for like timing when I'm actually working on something. It just has like a start stop button. I don't know if you've ever used it, but yeah, it can be like on your phone or on your computer or whatever. And you can actually hook it up to a lot of billing systems. So if you have like clients, and you know, you bill them a certain rate, you can like tag the client in and have that export to whatever your billing software is. I don't do that just because there's like other people on my team. So what I do is at the end of every billing cycle, which is every 2 weeks for us, I get everyone to put their hours into the spreadsheet, like what they did, the date that they did it, the client that it was for, and any other notes that they have, like if it was really difficult or something like that, and I need to reach out to the client, then it's all in one place.
Nice.
So I use kind of two things. One's a spreadsheet, the other's like an actual timer. But yeah, Toggle's great if you haven't used it.
I used to use Hover, but I'll include a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
People can check that out if
it's similar. Hover does billing too, right?
Yeah. So I used to send invoices through there. People could pay through, connected it with Stripe. That was really easy. So folks could pay with PayPal or credit card or debit card. Mm-hmm. Pretty handy.
Yeah.
Billing
super
stuff.
Cool.
So how do you manage your schedule and your money and keep all of that stuff kind of together and under control?
I mean, I will say with money, because I just became incorporated and now I have like a team, it's like changed a lot. I used to use like, you know, just my own self and like put my finances together and stuff like that and bill people. And I just got QuickBooks, which is amazing and everyone should use it. And I kind of put off using it because it's a kind of expensive, but it is amazing. And I like have staff now that I have to like pay on time. Mm-hmm. And it helps with that. It does payroll too.
Oh, nice.
And it gives you like a, I mean, I haven't done this yet, but apparently it can give you like a one sheet of the money incoming and outgoing in your company in a like month, week, whatever you need.
Oh, nice.
So that is cool because theoretically you could use that to like stay on top of how much money you can spend in a time period or if you're growing in the right way or not, which seems really cool. But yeah, I mean, I try to invoice very consistently. I manage my time by being a workaholic.
Oh, no.
And yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty like loosey goosey with my schedule. I don't like actually like giving myself like a strict schedule. So I usually just know what I need to get done in a week. I like mark it off in my calendar to do things, but I'm also like really flexible. Like if I have something 4 hours blocked off to like edit something and I want to go out for lunch with a friend and her kid, like I will do that and I will just work 4 hours later or put it into the next day or whatever. So I do like block off segments of my calendar, but I don't really stick to them that much. I'm pretty like chill with my schedule, but I also work a lot and I'm happy to work like, I don't know, like we talk about this a lot, but like being mindful of the times of day that are actually productive for you to be working in. So like I'm really good in the morning and I'm really good at night. And in the afternoon, I'm like kind of a trash human. Like I'm not great after lunch.
Yeah.
So I try not to do any like work that requires like attention, like editing, stuff like that. I won't do after like lunch. I'll wait until the evening or I'll do it in the morning. And I'll do stuff like, you know, meetings or you know, recording stuff that take less attention to detail.
Yeah. So do you have a specific marketing strategy for new shows that you help launch, or when? Because I think the number one question I hear from almost everyone I talk to related in podcasting is, you know, how do I grow my audience? How do I get more listeners?
All shows that I work on, I like throughout the process kind of talk to them like, you need these assets for each episode. So I always tell people, like, you know, you need a few posts for Instagram, a few posts for Twitter, a few posts for Facebook. And I find that the ones that work best are ones that are like those videograms that you can make on Simplecast now. And like there's Headliner mm-hmm. makes them too, that have like the audiogram. Those do really well. Other things that do really well is just like an actual photo of a quote or like the person who you're interviewing. So make sure we have those for each episode. And I make sure that people reach out to the people that are on the podcast and send them all those links. Like, I have a template for an email. It's like, you know, attached are like four things that you can post on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook to your audience. If you do that, please like use this hashtag and tag these people. And that helps mm-hmm. a lot. Like if you have a show where there are other people on it, it actually helps so much for them to like reach out to their audience, because that audience isn't your own audience. But chances are they'll like hearing that show and then they'll listen to other episodes. So that's super helpful. And then after like three, I usually get people that have like 3 to 5 episodes out. Oh, actually, I'm going to rewind a bit. I also get people to start each like a new show with a trailer, which is great just for setting up your RSS feed, because like you can submit not with your first episode. You can submit with a trailer. And then once that gets approved, you can be like, okay, on Tuesday, I'm going to like, you can adjust your launch date for when the episodes are actually publishing. But it also gives you time in that window that you can send the trailer to like media organizations. So like if you're a tech podcast, like reach out to other tech podcasts, reach out to like tech blogs, reach out to like, you know, Wired and like websites like TechCrunch, stuff like that. Send them your trailer. Be like, I have a few episodes coming out. I'm going to get in touch when they're out, blah, blah, blah. Here's what the show's about. And ask them to promote it. And usually like people are pretty nice, I've found, especially other podcasters. Like if you know there's another podcast in your space that that audience would also like your podcast, do a promo swap with them. Like ask that podcast host, like, hey, can I like have a 30-second clip on your podcast promoting my own? I'll do the same for you. I think it could be like mutually beneficial, blah, 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 blah. That works super well. And you know that those people, like people are already listening to the podcast. So there isn't that like degree of separation. Sometimes it's hard to bring someone from like a web page over to listen to a podcast. But if you're already listening to one, chances are you'll listen to another. Right.
Totally.
And then I think beyond that, there's like some paid stuff that you can do. I don't do so much of that. There are ways that you can like reach out to people at these platforms that are like listening platforms like Spotify or Apple and get them to, or ask them to feature you on that like new and noteworthy section.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hard ask to get, but if you do get it, it definitely improves listenership a lot. I wouldn't recommend doing that if you don't have a reason as to why you should be featured. So like, for example, you know, in like women, like Apple will have these like themed promo months, right? So 1 month will be like Black History Month and they'll feature like podcasts by like people of color. So if you have a podcast that is about like Black in media or I don't know, something cool like that, that aligns with what they're promoting, then that would be a good time to reach out. Or, you know, with like, they have like a women-led podcast section. If you fit within that, then, you know, email them to be featured in that. Don't just like email them and be like, hey, I have a podcast and feature me. Because like everyone has a podcast and why would they do that if it doesn't fit within their programming, I think.
Absolutely.
Maybe that sounds harsh, but it's the truth. Like, you know, you can't ask for a favor for someone if it doesn't also work with them. And like, if, and like most people don't have a relationship there already, right? So it's like, cold, you're asking for like a favor out of the blue from someone. So make sure it like aligns with what they're promoting too, and try to get in that way.
Absolutely, yeah. It really is like the basics, right?
Yeah, I think some people think there's like a hidden a hidden secret to like getting a podcast promoted, but like I don't think there is. I've seen podcasts like grow really organically. Like almost all the shows that I work on have grown really organically, like just like reaching out to people, engaging with your listeners. I think that's a big thing too. Like if you want your listeners to be more engaged, you need to actually engage with them. And that can be over your podcast. Like you can be like, hey, like shout out to this person and this person, like thanks for this review. Or maybe you can do like a giveaway or something like that. Or it can be on social media. Like if people are, you know, listening to your show and writing about it or tweeting about it, like high five them for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. My show personally grew because of those things. You know, I never spent any money on advertising. It was all just relationships I built, interactions I built, giving people shout outs, answering questions, occasionally going on other shows, having folks on my show and, you know, asking for reviews and then reading those reviews on episodes, you know, to give people shout outs for when they said nice things about me. Yep. It's a lot of work, but it works. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no secret, y'all.
Sorry. Except the secrets we're giving away right now for free.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that'll cover. I was going to ask you, you know, what your response is when people ask you how to grow their audience, but I think that's actually what your response would be, right? All those same things.
Yeah.
What's your we're going to get into some hard questions now. What's your response when people ask you how to make money with a podcast?
Whew, my first response, if you're not already a client of mine, like sometimes people email me just like, hey, I want to start a podcast. How do I make money from it? And most of the time I want to write back and I don't. Like if your goal for making a podcast is making money, it's probably not going to be a great podcast.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if that's totally true, but I feel like all the podcasts that I work on where there's like a message that, you know, they want to get out or they think they have like this really good idea, like the money can come from that. But if your goal for making a podcast is making money, it's probably you should do something else, like sell something.
Right.
Again, maybe harsh advice, but it's the truth, I think, at least from my perspective. To make money with a podcast, it helps to first focus on growing your audience. And honestly, if you want to start reaching out to sponsors, which is one way to get money, you don't actually need to have a huge audience. But if you can prove that your audience is interacting with you, that goes a long way. So what that could look like is like, you know, if you tell people on your podcast, like, hey, after the show, I'm going to post these links here. Go to this webpage, like, you know, podcastdude.com/83. And then you can prove that like 10,000 people did that. Like that shows to advertisers and sponsors, like the people that are listening to you trust what you say. They're going to follow onto a webpage. They're going to click back to something else. And that's beneficial for them to see as well. So if you don't have a huge audience, another way to prove to a sponsor would be that, like, engagement. To reach out to sponsors, I think that you should not do that until you have some credibility. If you are like a brand already that's like established on the internet and have an audience already, and then you make a podcast, you can reach out to a sponsor from the get-go and show them that. But if you don't and you're building a podcast for your business and your business maybe doesn't have that many followers, it really makes sense to focus like your first 3 to 5 months on growing and like maintaining those relationships with listeners and then reach out to sponsors. Grow your audience first, then reach out to sponsors. Another thing I would recommend, which is not necessarily about making money, but it's about like keeping your audience while you have money, is that like don't take sponsorship from like advertisers that don't work with your brand.
Yep.
And I think it's like a bit weirder now because there's a lot of platforms that are getting into those like what's like, you know, when they like put the ad in for you,
programmatic or dynamically inserted ads.
Yeah. Which is great because it makes your life easier. But you know, be specific about the things you don't want promoted on your podcast, because I think it is really annoying for people if you're like a listener. I've turned off a podcast before when they start talking about something super weird. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, I know that you're not eating this like weird thing that you're telling me that you are obsessed with. So like, I end up not trusting the person who's, you know, doing the podcast. So I think it is actually important to like try to have some sort of like brand clarity on who you want to be sponsoring your show. Yeah. Especially if you're doing the ads, like if you're reading the ads out, absolutely. If they are like pre-recorded and spliced in, I think you have a bit more you can get away with there. But yeah, other than ad, like I think there's two ways that people make money off a podcast. One of them is like, well, three ways actually. One of them is like ads within the podcast. Another one is like sponsorship, which kind of looks like, you know, if someone buys a whole season, or maybe they buy a whole season plus they want to add up in the front, plus they want you to do an event with them, something like that. And then the third kind of way is to, depending on what your podcast is, like tie it back to what your business model is. Like if you are a health food podcast or a healthy living podcast, you know, get people to come back to your website and then do something for them there that you can make money off of. So if you don't want to align yourself with like sponsors or ads, that's another way that you can do it. You can like sell, you know, products or books, stuff like that. Special content, Patreon's great for that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, if you have a specific audience that is large enough that you can partner with sponsors to promote products or services to, that's great. Be respectful of your audience and what their interests are. And I think it's really important to know what their interests are. And I still think it's great to either provide extra bonus content via Patreon or create stuff to sell directly to your audience, you know.
Absolutely.
In my case, you know, I started my show, you know, partially because I wanted to provide education and also sell my services as a educator and producer, you know, an editor. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like job security for me.
Also, like, I think on Patreon, like a lot of people, I don't know if this is actually true, but I've seen it a few times where people don't realize that the payments are coming in monthly. So if someone donates $3 over a year, like, you know, that's more, that's a lot, not a lot, but sorry, I'll start over.
No, it's all good. If it's 100 people, it's a lot. Or are you talking about for the individual?
No, I'm talking about like the money that you make. But I think the thing with Patreon is, you know, those like tiered giveaways. Mm-hmm. Like give something away to people for $3. It's not hard. You know, give them that extra content. It's worth $3. It's worth it if the content's really good and 100 people sign up. Like that is a pretty easy way to make money. And I always like having like a physical object. I know that's like harder to do, but I think it goes a long way. If you want someone to donate like $20 a month, give them like a tote bag or like a piece of swag, like a mug or something. I don't know. It depends on what your podcast is, but give them something like stickers, something cool like that. And that helps you in the end too, because it is additional promotion, right?
Absolutely. Well, I was going to say that's I think an underutilized way to grow an audience too, is create physical goods to give away, because and nice, you know, don't go cheap, get something nice.
Yeah.
And give it to folks. It really makes an impression.
And live events, like stuff like that, like stuff that's in real life is so nice. Like, you know, podcasts are great because you feel like you're part of this person's life. Like you get to know people, you get to hear them speak, you like relate to them in your own ways. But like it's so much nicer. I know it's like over the internet and that's great that we can do that, but everyone still like wants to meet people in the real world.
Yes.
So if you can find a way to like bring your audience together and, you know, do something for them, like a live event, or, you know, maybe you'll be at an event and you can engage with them that way and hand out stickers, something like that. Like that is so, so, so important and honestly awesome. Like every time I go to a live podcasting event, I'm like in love with everything. I like leave right. So starry eyed.
I gotta be honest, outside of conferences, a few that I've gone to, I haven't been to too many. Like I've been to podcasting events, but not like live podcasts.
I just did a live podcast with Jane Fonda, and it was crazy. But it was cool. But it is so cool because you get to like hear these people talk in real life and be part of it. And then when the episode comes out, you're like, I was there.
Yeah, right. Gotta get that audience engagement. It's super important.
Yeah.
All right. Just a couple more questions here. What do you think, if someone asks you, what would you tell them is the most rewarding part of making a podcast?
I mean, maybe this is based off my last answers, but I feel like the most rewarding part of having a podcast is twofold, and it has to do with people, like connecting with people. One thing is that you connect with the people, like you have these conversations with people, they take half an hour of your time and you end up making a new connection that sometimes is amazing. So if you have an interview podcast, like, and you're, you know, taking half an hour out of your week every week to talk to a new person, like that's so many people that you're meeting that you would have never met otherwise. And you get to have these like really amazing in-depth conversations with them. And I've seen those relationships like go from this one podcast taping that like they had no context for knowing each other outside of that, and like turn into like business relationships or friendships, or, you know, like traveling, people like meet up across the world after they've had like had this conversation once in a podcast. And that I think is so, so, so amazing. And I love that. The second thing that I think it does is it's really, really amazing when you make a podcast and you put it out there and you get to see how many people listen to it. Like, I always assumed that, you know, podcasts, like since they blew up, that the shows I work on would get less and less listeners because, you know, there's so many podcasts out there. So people are listening to like a million other things, but it hasn't happened at all. Like I always start new podcasts and they always do super well. And it's like really amazing to see, like, you can put out a piece of content that you care about and you can see like 10,000 people listen to it, or, you know, 50,000 people or 100,000 people have listened to it. And that to me is like amazing.
Yeah.
It takes like pretty little, like, I don't know. It's like you make a small thing and you put it out there and you can touch so many people all over the world. And I think that's really cool. It's like making art.
I love it. Steph, thanks so much for coming on the show today and for sharing all your knowledge and experience. Where should people go if they want to learn more about you or follow you online?
Thank you for having me. This is so nice. I love catching up with you. People can follow me on Twitter at editodd_io, or you can follow my personal account at Steph_Colburn, or you can follow me on Instagram at editodd.io. And yeah, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me always at steph@editodd.io. I always respond to emails. I love hearing from people. If you're like a woman who wants to get into audio production, hit me up. Let's chat. I'm usually hiring. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Steph, thanks so much for coming on the show. And I would also like to take this moment to plug my new show, which is called The Podcast News. It's going to be a weekly show that I put out every weekend, just kind of recapping the most important news and the good to knows and the helpful articles from the week related to podcast stuff. It's specifically for podcast producers or folks in the industry or folks who are just really passionate about podcasting. So by the time this episode comes out, it should be live in Apple Podcasts. And my, you know, if you search The Podcast News or visit The Podcast News on Twitter, then you'll be able to find the site and subscribe to it. And I'll include a link in the show notes. So yeah, if you want to follow me, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at The Podcast Dude or at The Podcast News. I couldn't believe no one else had taken the podcast news yet. Like, it seems so obvious.
So cool. I'm so excited to listen.
Yay. Yeah. Send me any cool links you think I should include. One of the things I was talking to Dane about, a coworker of mine from Simplecast. I was talking to him about this the night before I launched the show, actually. And he just pointed out that, like, it'd be really great to have some more diverse voices and viewpoints. And I totally agree. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to, you know, share and promote some folks who might not otherwise get attention in the podcast industry. So, yep, going to try to use my show as a force for good. And
that's awesome.
See how that goes.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I think you're doing a good job.
It's important. Thanks. I think you're doing a good job. I mean, I'm a queer woman. If you ever need a woman on your show, let me know.
We just got done doing an interview. Yeah. Here's the thing. The way I set the show up is that I actually would like the opportunity to have other folks host episodes, like in case I can't do it for some reason.
Oh, cool.
So I'm putting together, it's a fairly scripted show. So it's going to be like, every week, 3 to 5, you know, or up to 6 or 7 if there's a bunch of news, but really just 3 or 5 either news articles or pieces of news or tutorials that should be highlighted. It's going to be like, the format's going to be just a link to the original article or the original news. And then like a little bit of...
Oh my God, I have so many. My brain is like popping off right now. I want to do one.
I'll let you guest host. And then it's just like a little bit about a little bit about the article or what the news is, and then just a little bit of discussion, like, you know, your thoughts on why it's important or what's interesting about it, you know. So yep. And then
Are you gonna do like a newsletter too?
I should. Right now I'm kind of like I'm driving this car down the road while I'm building it. So I'm just,
maybe wait a bit, but it would be cool to have like a monthly recap of everything, right? Cause you'll have all that information. You'll just be like formatting
exactly.
It.
Exactly. And then a YouTube channel as well.
Cool.
Basically I need to do all the things, but I am only one person and I also have this show and
story of my life,
all the podcasters. So yes, but no, I actually would absolutely love to have, I'd love to have you and other folks do, you know, do guest hosting. I think it'd be really fun.
Oh my God. I would love that. Also maybe some cool people from my team would be interested.
Yes. Yeah.
That's so exciting. Congrats.
Thank you. I'm really excited about it too. It feels, as much as I love the podcast, dude, I always felt like it was never quite as good as it could be simply because, frankly, because of the title, you know, like the podcast, dude, I think it's, it doesn't give listeners a good description of what the show is. And I think it doesn't speak to, I don't know. It's like, it's more of a personal thing rather than like, in my mind, the podcast news is much more for the community and for podcast producers. And even though the podcast dude was also for those same people, it just doesn't, you wouldn't know that just by looking at the artwork or looking at the title of the show. And then the fact that it's also my personal brands, I feel is limiting. Whereas the podcast news could be anyone, right? Like could be any number of, it could be a company, it could be a brand in of itself. It's not tied to just me. So yes. That's it's exciting. Lots to do. I'm going to keep working on it though. And get you on to do an episode.
Fun. I can't wait. I want to listen. Send me a link when it's up.
I absolutely
do. You have
will.
Like socials for
it? Yeah. So social is online right now. It's just at the podcast dude on Twitter. And I do not have anything else right now. I haven't done any other platforms.
Okay. So you're going to use the podcast dude Twitter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, podcast news. I thought you said
dude. Oh, no. Did I say dude?
Yeah. Oh, we're following it already.
Yeah.
God, my social media girl is awesome.
I need a social media person.
Yeah, same.
God, I'm the worst.
I'm really, yeah, she's awesome. She's saving my life every day. I'm like so tired all the time. Off the record.
Off the record. You don't want that in the show? This is going to be the after show, I thought.
Yeah, I'm like constantly walking the line between like melting and loving my life. It's hard. Right.
So that's going to be the true story of the podcast producer.
Yeah. I mean, it is true. I think in order to like be self-employed in any way, like you have to be a bit of like a, you have to be like in love with what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to figure out how to not let that kill you. Because I think, you know, if you, I love making podcasts. I'm like never upset. Like if I work at midnight, I'm like not even upset about it. I'm like stoked about it.
Right.
But like that doesn't mean that I should be working at midnight. So I think I'm like I'm constantly learning and relearning how to like set boundaries and be kinder to my sleep schedule.
Mm-hmm. Gotta. I always say prioritize sleep over everything else. It's hard to do though.
I admire you for being able to do that.
I just know I get weird and things get bad real quick if I don't sleep well. Like, I'm not an enjoyable person to be around, and I don't make good decisions. And sleep, it's important.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can put that in if you want. Actually, I feel good about that. That's good advice.
Great, seriously, great show. Like so many great takeaways, and I'm really excited to put this out. So thanks again. We'll call it a wrap.
I'm so excited.
Yay!
Yeah, thanks for talking to me so much. Honestly, I like love chatting with you.
Yay.
I feel like it's so cool that we like met in real life once,
right?
twice.
Philadelphia, yeah, Fort Worth before, and then Philadelphia, PA.
I know. Are you going to go to any of those this year? I didn't go last year.
I didn't go this last year, but that's probably better because I was super tired. I think I'd like to go some more. I think I'm ready to do some more traveling.
Maybe we should do something together.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a show or a company or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's think about something for 2020.
Deal.
Also, tell Dane he's awesome. He's like helped me so much. I emailed him like 50 times in a row.
Who's that?
Dane.
Oh, yes. Dane's great. I'm trying to get him.
Nice.
I will. I'll include this in the show and make him, I'll make him a recast specifically for this session. Send him that recast. What was I going to say? I'm trying to get him on more shows too. Like he's thinking about starting a show.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm going to start a show.
That was going to be one of my questions. When are you going to start a show?
We're doing like a YouTube and podcast show called The Uplift.
Oh, nice.
And we're going to talk to other people that work in any field, but that are using their work to like uplift other people in their community.
I think
it'll be cool.
Instant subscribe.
Cool. Yeah, it's not out yet, but it will be.